Welcome to From Caving In to Crushing It, the podcast for those who find themselves immersed in adversity and choose to write their story instead of having others write it for them. I'm Drew Duraney, and I'm your host.
Today's guest is Wendy Corner. Having had an abandonment experience at age 2, Wendy made the unconscious decision, "My voice doesn't matter." While she didn't remember that incident and the internal script that she adopted for over 50 years, it colored her life choices. As a child, she made up her own language and played with voices, impersonating different regional accents in the UK. She chose speech pathology as a career, as unconsciously, she didn't want anyone else to have that same feeling she had about her voice not mattering. Various life experiences gave her the opportunity to learn and practice resilience and determination, from the abandonment, moving to a different part of the country, and leaving behind her brother and friends, not getting into university for 2 years on the trot, her husband having a nervous breakdown, finding him dead after a heart attack, migrating to Australia, losing her job, and being threatened with deportation, then setting up a business which was all wiped out because of COVID. Her internal script, "He who perpetually lives under the surface will sooner or later drown," helped her through. Now a 2-time international best-selling author, award-winning speaker coach, and podcaster, she works with speakers to craft and deliver their talks to the right audience from the right platform in a way they can hear and want to hear. She has worked with TEDx UWA coaching team for 6 years and works with authors to take them from page to stage so they take every opportunity to show their words have power. Her unique blend of working with the mind and body enables her clients to connect deeply to their audiences, both heart and mind, and to make a difference with their transformational talks. That's the 300-word version. If you would like a shorter version, let us know. Wendy, it's good to see you.
Hello, Drew.
I'm so thrilled to have you. And you're calling in from Malaysia, and I love that. It's my first guest calling in from Malaysia. You'll be an answer to a trivia question. So
right.
Oh boy, absolutely. So I thank you so much for coming on. And, you know, before we hit the record button, I was telling you like how I'll basically begin this. And, you know, we talked about, you know, we're young children and we're kind of molded by people, you know, just because they're trying to give us advice and they mean well, but they're told that, you know, life is linear. It's a straight path. And if you do certain things, everything's going to work out fine. And we know, you and I both know, that that's not the case, that life is not linear, that life turns out to be circuitous because something inevitably gets in the way of those straight line letters and we've got to make a decision. So, you know, I have people on who've encountered defining moments and they've actually noticed them, acknowledging them, and then they said, "I'm going to use this as an opportunity to be a better person." And I know you've done that. So I'd love you to reach back as far as you need to and let us tell us about that defining moment that was either a tap on the shoulder or the 2x4 upside the head that said, "Wendy, here's a better way to live. Take it on." And you did.
Well, I didn't actually have much choice.
Okay, here we go. Yep.
Just imagine this. It's August the 3rd, 2009.
Okay.
And I have gone back to work after 2 weeks off, which was a really good fun time, celebrated my 20th wedding anniversary with my husband, made a big deal of it and thinking, well, why was I making such a big deal? The 25 is the biggie, but hey, that's fine. On my way home, we used to have a phone conversation on the Bluetooth so that I kind of debriefed my, to give you context, my husband was mentally unwell for 15 of the 20 years we were married. Mm-hmm. And so he was at home. So I used to debrief with him on the way home so that when I got home, that was our time. I released all the crap from the day.
Sure.
But I couldn't get hold of him. There was no answer.
Oh, boy.
So I didn't think much of it. I mean, the conversation we had on the way into work, we were about to have a team building day in the office. And the idea was that we would nominate and bring in a CD cover. And it was a guess the person from the album.
Okay.
And so we'd been talking about, well, what sort of thing did I want to portray? Because yeah. people knew me under different spheres. So anyway, that conversation had been still mulling in my mind as I was driving home. And the closer I got to home, I started singing one of the songs, which is the Pia Jesu from the Fore Requiem.
Mm-hmm.
And the closer I got to home, I felt this chill
oh boy.
Going up my back.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking, okay, something's not right.
Huh.
When I got home, I could hear the computer was on upstairs. Jeff's office was upstairs. So I snuck in because I know that he was, if he gets startled, he was sort of really quite
yeah.
anxious. So I snuck in, I went upstairs, and as I put my head around the door, I could see his head was bowed. So oh. I thought, okay, he's having a sleep. So I tiptoed around the front, and there I was met with a color combination that I will never forget. He was yellow and sallow down to about his arms, and then it was purple and mottled where the blood had drained.
Oh boy.
He had been dead for a couple of hours.
Oh, Wendy. Wow.
So I looked at him and went, and literally, this is what I said out loud. Oh, well, today really is the first day of the rest of my life.
Wow. Unbelievable.
And then I had to kick into doing, well, now what do I do?
Yeah.
So that's when I went into autopilot, phoned the ambulance. What was the point?
Yeah.
But it kicked into process a whole heap of things. And then finally, the GP came around and called him. And then I had the police round because it was a sudden death and all of this jazz. It was a fun evening.
Oh my goodness. Did we know what happened?
Well, according to the post-mortem, it was hypertensive cardiovascular disease. In other words, he had a major heart attack.
Oh,
he didn't
boy.
Even get out of the chair. So he'd obviously got a butter light.
Yes.
So great for him.
There we go. There's your non-linear moment.
Oh, yes, I had no choice.
No, you didn't. Thank you for sharing. So the first day of the rest of your life.
Yeah.
How did you proceed in seeing that as the first day of the rest of your life?
I mentioned earlier that he'd been mentally ill 15 of the 20 years we were married.
Yeah.
His mental health was deteriorating.
Okay.
And, you know, he did not commit suicide, but his mental health was deteriorating.
Yeah.
And he was becoming more and more reliant on me.
Mm-hmm.
And the phrase I found myself saying was, he was sucking the life out of me.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not something you want to mention about your partner.
Exactly.
However, so once I just got over the numbness of finding him, the absolute shock, I actually felt relief.
Mm-hmm.
And then I felt guilt for feeling relief.
Yes. Yep.
And particularly those last two emotions, I couldn't share that with anyone.
No.
I mean, a Brit here, you know, you don't air your dirty laundry in public. You don't speak ill of the dead and all those wonderful maxims we were talking about conditioning earlier on.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. So that was when it was a case of, okay, well, now what? And my GP came and sat with me for 2 hours the day after.
Yeah.
And I said, haven't you got a clinic? He said, right now you are my most important patient.
Wow.
So that was really precious. And he gave me some very useful advice and said, do not make any life decisions in the next year.
Wow. That's very good advice. Yeah. Very good advice. Now, were there children involved or was it just you and your, so it was you and your husband? Okay. So did you make any important decisions in the next year, or did you, you heeded that advice?
I adhered to that advice. Yes.
Okay. How did you go about healing, Wendy?
there was some CBT
Mm-hmm.
involved, some cognitive behavior therapy, because I hit a reactive depression.
Okay. All right.
And then, I mean, I'll be honest, I threw myself into work even more
Okay.
because it then meant that I didn't have to acknowledge and address the fact that here I am on my own for the first time ever.
Ever, yeah. Right.
I mean, I'd, apart from a couple of nights when he'd been in hospital, I'd never been on my own. I'd never even slept on my own or in place on my own because there was always people around.
Right, sure.
So yeah, there were lots of new things to get to grips with, but my faith was really instrumental in keeping me going. And I had a lot of very, very supportive friends around me.
That's so important. That's so important. You know, that first drive home at from work, where you customarily did pick up the phone, what was that feeling when you didn't have to pick up the phone to debrief?
Well, that was a few months because it took me a few months to get back to
Sure.
work.
Absolutely.
The Now you mention it, I don't remember.
Yeah.
It wasn't particularly important. But yes, I mean, there were so many things that I compartmentalized as to what I
Sure.
could and what I couldn't.
Absolutely. Interesting. So, all right, let's fast forward. How long did you stay at that work, the workplace, before you jumped off on your own?
Okay, well, that was 2009. In the night that he died, I had a bit of a sleepless night, not surprising.
Sure. Yeah.
But just before I fell asleep, I felt that God was giving me a verse, the Jeremiah 29:12. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, to give you a hope in the future. So I held on to that. And one of the other things I felt was that I was to go and see his family out in Australia. It was a trip that we'd always planned, but never got round to doing. But it wasn't going to be that year. It wasn't going to be the year after. It ended up being 2012. So fine. Okay. So off I went in 2012. I managed to get an entire month off with lots of pretty please from my boss, but she'd taken a month off to go to Australia a couple of years earlier. So I thought, aha, my
There we
month's
go.
on the safe wicket.
Yes.
So I came over, saw family, saw Jeff's family, and did that the last sort of thing for him.
Yeah.
I loved Australia.
Wow.
Every which way I turned when I got back, Australia was calling me. There were TV programs, there was this, that, and everybody was talking about it. And I'm
Interesting.
going, okay. So I felt led to put my resignation in at the end of the year because I knew I was going.
Oh, interesting.
So I resigned from a very senior position as a speech pathologist in the National Health Service. I didn't get a job until the following September.
You had
But
already
in
moved, and you had already moved. You moved to Australia. No, not
no,
yet.
I couldn't go without a job.
Oh, I see. So you were working on lining up a job at Australia
Yes.
before you went, and it took till the following September. Wow.
Yeah.
That would must have been nerve-wracking.
It was. It was. So in that time, I felt God was saying, you've got to clear the house because when the call comes, you're going.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And I came from a family of hoarders, having
Oh,
lost father-in-law,
okay. Yep.
mother-in-law, brother-in-law, and
Oh, boy.
husband in the space of 10 years.
There we
All of
go.
that stuff ended up in the house,
Okay, so you had everything to go through now. Oh boy.
including tax receipts back to 1965.
No, you kept them for a while for posterity. Okay. Oh,
Oh, the bonfires.
can
Oh,
imagine those bonfires. Okay. Wow.
really? So yeah, that was all sorted out. So that in then in September when I got the job,
Yeah.
I couldn't get start work until my visa came through.
Sure.
It was a sponsored visa, so there was a sponsored particular. It's a 457. It doesn't mean anything, but it's a particular number of visa that's attached to your ability to work in Australia. So the company paid for me to come over. I stepped out in faith, and my container of effects, such as they were, left in October. I didn't get my visa until 3 weeks after it had left.
Oh boy,
I was stepping out in faith because I knew I was going.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that was a big step. And then I started work at the beginning of December. So that's almost an entire year that I had to rely on savings and whatnot. But yeah, so that was, and I was still a speech pathologist.
Okay, so that was the job, was a speech pathologist. And now we're talking about 2013, 2014, right around that time.
2013 to 2013, yes, 2013 into 2014, correct.
Wow. So we are now talking 10 years ago.
Oh
Wow. All right. So
yeah.
how was that leap of faith going to Australia?
It went pretty well. Now, just to let you know that the Australian visas seem to change with the wind. And at the time I arrived, you had to be on a sponsor, you had to be in the country for over 2 years before you could apply for your permanent residency.
Got
As long as you were under 50 or had a shed load of money.
There was a catch.
My 2 years was up 8 weeks after my 50th birthday.
Oh no.
So this is where I go over to the company and go, would you pay for my, would you sponsor my visa, my permanent residency, please? Oh, we'll think about it, we'll think about it. They came back and said they would.
Oh, good.
Great. So then my part, the conditions of the visa were I had to work for that company for 2 years. Fast forward about 9, 10 months in, and I get summoned into the office and suspended. No prior warning. I go, what's going on? Apparently, I had breached confidentiality. So I asked a bit more because after 28 years as a speechie, I knew confidentiality when it hit me. And I had shared the story of one of my clients on a video. And I said, have you asked her? No. I said, well, she specifically asked me to tell her story because she didn't want to be on camera. Well, you've contravened da 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 and our policies. We can't trust your judgment. They gave me a week to get my defense together. And then, I mean, it had already been signed, sealed, and delivered. They wanted me out. But there was some internal politics around that. Okay, fair enough. But I still had another 15 months to run on my visa, and I couldn't go and work for anyone else. So I was living in limbo, not knowing whether I'd get the call from the immigration department to say bye-bye. They would not give me a response. They wouldn't give me an answer. And I got a bit frustrated with this.
Of course.
One of my friends who was in a similar situation said her immigration officer did their level best to keep her in the country. She said, you may well find that the person in charge of your case was just keeping a deaf ear to what was going on so that you could stay. So now I'm kicked out of my profession because people talk, even although it wasn't a proven case. People talk, and nobody would have taken me on. So here I am now going, okay, now what?
Jeez, now what?
And that's when I, you know how Facebook sends you adverts? Well, that one actually helped because I had the Tony Robbins, Chloe Madonna's training school, coaching training school come up on the newsfeed.
There you go.
And there was an offer for Black Friday.
Okay.
Okay, I took them up on that.
All right, good.
And then I had a coaching qualification.
I see.
Right, now we're getting
Beautiful. There
somewhere.
we go. Okay. That's that opportunity you took. You saw as an opportunity, not a. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. I love that. All
Yeah.
right. Good.
So that's when I got a qualification, decided ultimately, but after a few dry runs at other peep things, to specialize in working with speakers. I'm a speech therapist by training.
There you go.
What
Right.
do I do best? I
Yeah.
work with people in communication.
Absolutely. Love it. Wow. So it that's like a calling. And if you weren't scrolling on Facebook at that time, and the any advertisement could have come up, right? So you grasp that. I love stories like that. So tell us what you're doing now that highlights that trajectory in your life, and tell us what you're doing now.
Okay. Well, yes, I am working with speakers to get them onto particular stages.
Okay.
I was a head coach at the University of Western Australia's TEDx team,
Okay.
but I'm not there this year because I'm in Malaysia.
Yes, you are.
So there's that level of training that I can offer. But what I'm also doing now is I'm niching right down because I found a number of authors, particularly business authors, who maybe poured their heart and soul into getting their book together, whether it be a solo book or a compilation book. And that's kind of where they want to leave it. You know, they don't want to talk about it because they're scared of the whole public speaking thing. That's why they're writing it down. And I
That's a
go,
good point.
yeah,
Oh
no, you've got to
boy,
talk
I
about
know.
it.
Yeah,
You
why
can't
that's
do
why
that.
you wrote it down. Let's get the story out. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, exactly. So if I find people who are in that situation, my question is, can you have a one-on-one conversation with somebody?
Okay.
Well, yes. What do you think a podcast is? But that's not a stage, really. What's your definition of a stage?
There you go.
Oh, a raised platform with a microphone in one hand and me spouting forth. I mean, no. It comes in different shapes and
It
sizes.
certainly does.
So that's what I'm up to.
I love that. It is true. It's all about mindset and what you how you frame things. And
Yes.
the stage can be anywhere you this could be the stage. This is our stage right now.
Yeah,
You and I
exactly.
talking now. It's a platform. It's a stage. And absolutely. So I love that you're doing that. And you're doing many things with that approach, Wendy. You're helping people get out of their comfort zone. And by them doing so, they're building confidence in their ability, and therefore you're supporting them to get their voice out and their message out. And then there's somebody else out there who needs to hear it.
Yes,
So
absolutely.
I love that approach. I certainly know that the audience is getting had to capture the essence of Wendy Corner, and they're going to want to get in touch with you. So, folks, here's what Wendy will do. If you are an author, and we just talked about getting your voice out, if you're an author needing to get a leg up to getting onto stages, whatever that definition of stage is for you, offering a conversation, just a conversation to see where you're at and where you may need to go. And you can reach her at her email, best way to reach her. And it's Wendy at YWHP, which stands for Your Words Have Power, dot events. So Wendy, let me so let there you're going to get inundated with emails from people. So, give me an idea of what it's like to work with you. Once you have that conversation and they say, I'm all in, let's go. What's it like?
Well, I tend to tailor make the program for the person, which is why we have that discussion to start with. Where are you aiming for? Because if I have the opportunity to work in groups, fine. However, if I get the opportunity to work with individuals, then we can really match it to your goals and your aspirations. What it looks like is it's a Zoom call because, as you've heard, guys, I am in Malaysia, not necessarily local to you. So this Zoom call, I hope you can gather we have fun.
Yes, I can t sense that.
There is some accountability in there. I won't let you drift. So there'll be some teaching, there'll be some training, there'll be tasks to do, homework, if you like, assignments, whatever you want to call it, and we'll keep you accountable so that we are mapping out where you want to go. There is an awful lot of mindset stuff in there.
Yeah, good.
I bring to bear my toolkit of NLP, of hypnosis, as well as my linguistics, phonetics, and all the other jazz stuff that I did with my speechy work.
Sure. Wow, that's wonderful. Well, I could talk to you all day, but I know you need to take care of some business. So I have two questions I'd love to ask you. So you have an opportunity to sit down with young 7 to 10 year old Wendy, and you want to give her advice about life. What are you going to tell her?
She's not going to listen anyway if I give her directions. But that said, I'm going to say to her, what I would love you to do, love, is to think about consequences. Now, it's not that easy when you're small. So if you want to sit down with a trusted adult, that's a good idea. But think about where you want to go. You know, when you're older, you'll read a book called Start with the End in Mind, and you can work your way back. But that's what I would really suggest you do. Focus on where you want to go, and then work out how you're going to get there.
I love that. I love that. And there's oh yeah, and the consequences, there's always consequences in something you say or do. So it's good to know ahead of time. Great advice. I'll take it. So she might not though. So all right, now you're sitting down with young Wendy, the young entrepreneur, young businesswoman, and you want to give her advice about business. What are you going to tell her?
Get around people who've been down the track, the people who have got the results that you want. Don't be swayed by razzmatazz. Look at their results. If they've got and can show you that they have got results, then ask them a bit more, like, what mistakes have you made? If they're honest enough to share with you what those mistakes were and what they learned from them, that's another reason to trust them and invest in with them.
Beautiful advice. Beautiful advice. Well, Wendy, thank you so much for coming on, and thank you for coming into my life. I always like to thank the people who introduce me to the guests. And I'm looking now, and I did I admit I forgot to look ahead of time to refresh my memory how we met. And I actually have a spreadsheet that actually says who
Think you
introduced
might
me to
find it
who.
was Frank.
Let's see. Let's see. Wendy. Actually, you know who it was? Jack Gillet.
Oh, yes, it was.
It was Jack Gillet. So thank you,
Thank
Jack
you.
Gillet, for introducing the two of us. Yep.
Thanks,
That's,
Jack.
yep. Absolutely. So there you go. So Wendy, again, thanks for coming on. Thank you for doing what you're doing. You are helping so many people in so many levels. You're a wonderful human being, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Drew. I've really appreciated the opportunity to talk to your audience.
Oh, it's my pleasure. All right, everybody, take care of yourselves today. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, please subscribe and give us a review to help others find it. I'd like you to answer this question: are you living the life you want to live, or are you living the life others want you to live? I'd like you to think about that for a second, because I strongly suggest you live the life you want to live. If you want to learn more about what I stand for and my services and how I'm able to help many men get out of their own way, please go to my website at www.profitcompassion.com. Feel free to also email me at drew@profitcompassion.com. I'd love to have a conversation with you. Take care of yourself and choose to write your own story instead of letting others write it for you.